is it time for a checkup? And when I say that, a few of you are probably not excited to think about what this checkup might be. But we get this question all the time, and Noelle even saw my sermon title, and she's like a doctor's checkup? I'm like, yep, just like a doctor's checkup. In fact, this morning, I actually got a text on my phone. It said, from Kelowna Family Dental, here's your appointment reminder for Thursday, August 23rd, Denver at 8:45, Noelle at 9:15. Press 1 to confirm. We have checkups all the time, right? And sometimes we even get reminders of our checkups. But my question is, how many of you actually get spiritual checkups? How many of you take a time once a year, once a month, maybe once a week even, and get checkups? We do it all the time in our world. Think about how many of you have a scale in your bathroom, and every time you walk in there, you do a little checkup on your weight, good or bad, right? We get dentist appointments. We get doctor checkups. One annual exam, right? Maybe more often, depending on what we're going through. Sometimes we don't have that much anxiety when it comes to those checkups because we know, hey, I've been feeling good. Things have been going pretty well. And sometimes we go into those checkups saying, I know things have not been right over the last 6 months, over the last year, and this checkup's not going to go well. Or maybe we know we've been experiencing some symptoms in our life that we know things aren't right. So that's my question today is it time for a checkup? We're going to spend 2 weeks. Today I'm just going to touch on having a checkup on our time and talents. And Don, next week, is going to talk on having a financial checkup. How are you doing as being a steward of the money, the resources that God has given you? So with that, let me pray. Lord God, we all need checkups at time and at times. And as we dive into the scripture, I pray I can be obedient to your scripture, to your word, to your truth. And I pray that we can all start to reflect on how are we doing. I pray that we can celebrate where we see you at work, and we can be challenged and we can be spurred on to improve on where you are calling us to change. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's a question right away. As we talk about time and talents, a question right away I have for you is to think about right now, what are your top three priorities in your life right now? What are your top three priorities in your life right now? And if you sit here for 30 seconds and just think about that, what are the top three priorities in your life right now? Some things probably come to mind, and hopefully they're good priorities, right? And the next question I'd have is, if the person sitting next to you asked you what your top three priorities were, or if they answered that for you, what would they say right now? And are there any spouses nudging their husband or wife right now? Sometimes when we look at the question that way, we maybe give ourselves a more honest answer, right? So today, is it time for checkup? That's the question. And honestly, I want to just dive into 1 Peter chapter 4. And I think there's a lot of, it's not a comprehensive list, but I think it gives us a pretty good list of things that we can do as we think about how am I doing right now? How am I using my time? How am I using the gifts that God's given me? So, let's dive in to 1 Peter chapter 4, if you turn there. There's so much in here. So the first point, and just getting right to it, is we need to accept Christ and we need to live for Christ. Verse 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God." Everyone here needs to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in their life. Everybody needs Jesus. I think we say that over and over again, but I know there's always a few people that haven't taken that step yet to accept Jesus as Lord. And the next part of that, which is so huge, is becoming a disciple that follows him each and every day of your life. He does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. Living our life for the will of God. That is being a disciple. And the whole next few verses in this passage, verses 3 through 6, talks about those that are not walking with Christ. And there's a list of sins that some of you maybe struggled with at some point, and maybe some are still dabbling in some of this as well, but what I wanted to note from here, I love verse 5, it says, but they will have to... Verse 4, they think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. I think the challenge for me, the challenge for you, is how different are we from the world? The world should think it's strange that you're acting the way that you do, or that you don't act the way that they do. The world should see some kind of difference. They should see that they can't understand it because they don't understand Christ. They don't understand who he is. I think as a church, as a culture, just the broad church, because we've allowed sin to abound more deeply, as we've been less willing to confront sin, I think our culture looks at us and they have no reason to think that we're any different. We're not willing to take the abuse that they might heap on us, the words that they might say to us, because we've slowly moved a little bit more into the lifestyle of the world. And I don't know if that makes sense to all of you, but it's a challenge for me. How different am I living than the rest of the world? Is there evidence of the Spirit of God living in me and the way I live in this world? The rest of the world shouldn't understand it. And the hope is they're going to ask you, why is it that you're so much different? And then we're going to have an opportunity to explain what Christ is doing in our lives. We need to accept Christ. We need to live for Christ. The next thing, if we're going to use our time and talents well, we need to live with urgency. Verse 7 says, "The end of all things is near." The end of all things is near. We don't know the day and time that Jesus is going to return again and set up his eternal reign and judge the world. But we know he's going to come like a thief in the night, and we know it's near. So it says, therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. And maybe that's another mark. Another challenge for you and for me is, how's your prayer life right now? How's your prayer life? Are you clear-minded and self-controlled enough that you recognize the need for prayer? That you recognize that without prayer, you're just going to keep going down a bad course? Verse 8 says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. And I love this verse. I love this verse because I dove into it and I was looking at the Greek and trying to understand all these words. And the word for love there is agape. This is this unconditional love. And then I was like, what does this mean to so unconditionally love deeply? Like, what does it mean to love deeply? And that word there means stretched out. Which, of course, as a follower of Christ, love stretched out is what Jesus did for us on the cross, dying. And I think of love stretched out, it's not a tight-fisted, I'm going to save what's mine, I'm going to keep what's mine, I'm going to protect myself from others. But I'm open and willing to share the love of Christ with others. I loved Jan's testimony of that she shared today of meeting with Mary, and it's one of those examples. Love stretched out. What an amazing church. If that's the way that we loved all the time. When we love each other deeply, when our love's stretched out, it does cover a multitude of sins. We can look past those little things. Those little things that people do that get on our nerves. And we can see the good and we can see what Christ is doing in their lives. Love stretched out. Wayne Grudem, theologian, said this. He said, where love abounds in a fellowship of Christians, many small offenses, and even some large ones, are readily overlooked and forgotten. But where love is lacking, every word is viewed with suspicion. Every action is liable to misunderstanding and conflicts about to Satan's perverse delight. May we be a church where love is not lacking. May you be a dad. May you be a spouse. May you be a child that has love deeply, love stretched out. Next thing, going to verse 9, it says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling, not grudgingly. And it's really the opposite of being cheerful if you're doing it with grumbling or grudgingly. We need to offer hospitality in a cheerful manner. How willing are you to open the doors of your home to others? How willing are you to invite somebody over for lunch? To love others with hospitality. This isn't a suggestion, it's another command. And then verse 10, it says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. I say, use your God-given gifts to serve others. The way I want to say this is that you guys are all like snowflakes out here. And I'll have to explain that, but I say that because Every snowflake is different, right? And every one of you is different. Every one of you has a God-given gift to serve others. And another challenge we have in our world is we want to compare ourselves to others. We want to look at others and say, I can't quite do it like them, or I can do it way better than them, so they shouldn't be up there, or I can do this way, or they do it this way, and we live our lives comparing ourselves with others. It's not the way it's supposed to be. Together, we are the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes. Greek word here means He divides into parts. He distributes them to each one, just as He determines. So I say we're like snowflakes. It's really interesting, maybe this is a side note or maybe it'll connect, but each one here actually means, it's the word idios, which means oneself, which after a while this actually got translated to the word idiot. And you ask, why would that be the word idiot? Is because at some point in culture, they realize that if you are separating yourselves from the world, they would say you are an idiot because you should be a part of the community. So we're all unique idiots that together are the body of Christ. Alone, we're lost. We don't get to experience all that God wants to do. We don't get to experience the whole Spirit of God. That word for gifts in verse 10 and 11 is the word charisma with a little accent on it. We've all been given charisma, special God-given gifts that nobody else has. When I was sitting around here today, just looking around in the sanctuary, looking up here and saying, wow, I cannot believe that people can decorate the way that they do and have this specific gift. And at one point, it was decorated a little bit different. And that's okay. I'm not comparing this one to that. Like, that was a gift that they had. And I saw people leading worship up here, and I saw how the floor was cleaned, and I saw how the prayer room is completed, and I saw how there's speakers up here and there's screens up here, and at some point this might have got painted and a cross was made by somebody. Like, these are all ways that God is using gifts in this congregation, and that's just looking right up here in the front. And I look at the discernment sheet and I see people that are saying, yes, I'll serve this church in this way this year. And I see how the body of Christ, what they can do. Man, that excites me. Excites me to see how, as a whole, we can be the body of Christ in this community. Think about our Bible school offering and the way things exploded there. Over $5,000, over $6,000 ended up coming in, and that was all certain people using their gifts and people saying, hey, I have these resources. I'm willing to match this night. I'm willing to match this night. And yes, that was a big offering. I'll still match that and maybe even give $1,000 more than what I was asked to give. These are people using their gifts. Sorry if I touched on your financial part there, Don. And here's the whole point, getting to verse 11. If anyone speaks, he should do as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Let me pray. Lord God, we want to praise You. We want You to get all the honor, You to get all the glory. God, sometimes we need to do a little checkup in our lives, and my prayer as we go forward today that this can be an encouragement, but it can be a time that we reflect a little bit and say, God, that we're falling short. We've said that we want to follow You with all of our hearts, all of our souls, all of our minds, but we're not doing it in some way. God, may this stir us up to find ways to serve You with our time, serve You with our talents. God, the body of Christ is amazing. The way that You've knit us all together. And may we go forward with deep love, celebrating what You're doing in each and every person, and encouraging each other as we go forth. May You get all the honor and glory, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.